Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to enter into the world of a quantum physicist through a conversation about a movie called The Quantum Activist. Amit Goswami is the gentleman that is the primary person speaking throughout this marvelous movie. But he is in India right now, so we're not going to be able to interact with him. He had to make a trip. Things have changed on him. But we have with us today the director and producer of this wonderful movie. We have Rhys Stewart and Renee Slade. I want to welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. And thanks for working around Amit's busy schedule. We really appreciate that.
I want to ask you, how old is this man? He is so incredibly busy. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, it's really hard to imagine, but he just turned 73.
Oh, he's still a baby.
he's still a baby, but, you know, I'm only 44, and I have a heck of a time keeping up with him.
He's just amazing, and I want to compliment you on this film. I think the photography on this is just, it's just beautiful. And the way that you interact with some of his lectures and you move to different environments, the various cultural components that are in this movie, The Quantum Activist, I think are very well presented. I can see why you won, you know, all your awards, one for best documentary of the Heart of England and their film festival. You won in the official selection in South Africa, the official selection in Ireland, and also the Best American Documentary in Thailand. That was an award, too. So I can see where these awards were given to you. It's just incredibly well done. Now, how in the world did you connect with Amit? And what prompted you to decide to make this movie on quantum physics? I mean, most people, they hear those two words and their eyes start to cross.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. Well, basically, we're seekers. Okay, so we've been studying yoga for many, many years, Renee and myself. And so through the process of doing some schooling, one of the courses that we were trying to work with, a paper we were writing, was the concept of I am the creative principle, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, you look at that statement and you go, well, what does this mean, you know? And that kind of dove us into the quantum physics stuff. And with that in mind, we live in Oregon, pretty close to where Amit's in the University of Oregon. So we thought we'd read The Self-Aware Universe as part of our research, and we were just so amazed by Dr. Goswami's work, especially because he has ties in with yoga and spirituality as well. And so that was one of the interesting aspects that we liked about it, was the holistic approach of it all instead of just kind of a dry intellectualism of it.
And, I agree.
And so it worked out that he was able to come out to our little tiny community out here on the Oregon coast. And you wouldn't believe it, but we had over 200 people show up for this event that we did.
Amazing.
And
this is especially amazing because the town population is about 630 people. And so we had a tremendous turnout of people from the community that were interested. And the energy and the liveliness of this event is what prompted the initial filming of the lecture, and which you see some of that footage in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very much the inspiration to continue further.
Yeah, that was basically how it all started. And the energy was just so amazingly incredible. It's what drove the film. And, you know, I think a lot of the people see that as they watch the film. And so then the course was we spend 2.5 years tidying it all up.
2.5 years. That was going to be my next question. How long did it take to bring together this film so that it flowed as it does?
Yeah, you know, it was tough. It really was, because the first thing, when our first edit was done, we couldn't really follow what was going on. Sometimes it's tough with quantum physics, you know, and then he put a lecture. And, you know, to take it to the point where we're winning film festivals and stuff, yeah, there's quite a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, how we spent the first 6 months contemplating how we were going to basically make this movie and understanding the concepts well enough to be able to get it down to its raw essence. And we went through the course of about, what was it, 4 or 5, I think, interviews that we also
mm-hmm.
did with them at the University of Oregon over the course of about 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And kept adding and more outlines and more writing. And finally, we just ended up putting it all on paper, if you can imagine, just these huge rolls of paper on the floor with big markers and big arrows. And that was kind of how we got through trying to explain these concepts at a very simple level that we could all easily understand.
That was a tremendous challenge, because quantum physics, if you are ever between scientists and you sit and you listen, and your eyes will go from right to left, and you go look up and you'll say, what am I doing here? I have no clue about what they're talking about. In fact, you have some scenes in the movie where he's doing some formulas. But for those people in my audience that do not know about Dr. Goswami, let's go into a little bit of his background, which is one of the things I really liked about the film, because
I was unaware of him. And that's one of the best things about not having Ahmet on the interview here right now. We can talk about it. It's always kind of hard to get him to talk about it. One of the interesting things that I find about his history is he was raised a phenomenal scientist, and he's really in love with quantum physics.
And I said, do you happen to know him? He said, oh, yeah, I know all about him. I read that and I thought, okay, this is really cool. So we had a very nice conversation regarding him. And he said, my goodness, is he still around? I thought he retired. I said, he's still around, and he might be retired in one way, but he's certainly not in another.
It's his life and passion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about his background a little bit. He was born in India.
Yeah, he was born in India, and that was right around the time of all the big catharsis that was happening there, you know, with Gandhi leading, you know, the new thought and expelling England kind of out of there, and the riots were happening and all kinds of stuff. So he was kind of there through a pretty tumultuous time in India's history.
He was, what, about 6 or 8 during the riots?
And that really put a big thing on his life. And also his dad was a Brahmin, which is an interesting thing if you're familiar with Hinduism. A Brahmin priest is kind of like a guru in India, and so a lot of their culture is kind of like the scientists basically over there, but it's on a Hindu type of a level.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ahmet, through the course of his childhood, basically ran away from that and said, you know, I've had enough of this spirituality stuff, and I want to go to the West, and I want to learn real science and real nuclear physics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So after he received his degree in nuclear physics from Calcutta University, I think it was like in 64, he moved to the United States and started practicing physics. And through the course of this, and through the course of his own trying to understand the truth, which is what quantum physics puts you straight at, like the final equation, when you get right down to it, asks you who the observer is, and it turns it into mysticism. And the only way that you can really answer some of these questions is to kind of verge into philosophy a little bit. And so that kind of took him on that path. And
to what he calls happy physics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I remember in the movie one of the segments when he was just talking about himself in this journey of his life. He had tried to be what he called the total materialist. And then in, I think it was 1973, he had a particular experience where he found himself just so consumed with jealousy and envy of his peers, people that he felt could speak better and all of these things. And he just got all stuck in this stuff, and that evening he went out and he was standing outside, and it was like he went through a transformation. He had to start asking questions because he wasn't pleased with himself at all, and that took him into an entirely different environment of thinking.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, he was supported through the University of Oregon for almost, what was it, probably 25 years after that epiphany, after that event.
Mm-hmm.
So he started exploring quantum physics as a connection to nature and the ground of being, basically.
And when Amit uses the term materialist, perhaps the despondency that in the unsatisfactoriness of living is a result of a materialist philosophy. But when he does speak of when we speak about materialism and non-materialist philosophies, is that the materialist philosophy is the idea that everything in our world, absolutely everything, our this very conversation, our minds, our internal and external experiences, can be understood in terms of material interactions alone. Like the big collider that's going on currently, and looking for the God particle and the core principles that make up the universe.
Oh my goodness!
Ultimately,
somehow or another,
we love a material interaction or a material substance that somehow interacts with.
Well, Don, if you can hear me, please, we'll do whatever
life,
we can to get them back if something happened
to their
telephone line.
Revelation.
I don't know what it is. Well,
that,
we'll try to get
that,
them back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hello, this is Donna. We were having a little bit of a technical challenge there, but we're back on, and Ree and Renee are back with me. Let's go in the direction, you know, we had been discussing how Amit had been in India when he was growing up, how he ended up getting his degree at Calcutta University and comes to the United States because he wants to practice hard science. He had gone through this transformational experience in 1973. And as you were saying and expressing, he was going through this metaphysical, mystical transformation, and that sounds very dramatic, but it was coming from a scientific positioning. And he was exploring this scientific positioning. And a lot of people, when they would hear that, would say, wait a minute, Donna, you're getting out into woo-woo land here. You're talking about, you can't talk about science and metaphysics in the same breath, but you can, can't you?
That's what quantum physics is showing us. You know, that's kind of the realm that quantum physics has put us in, you know. I think that's why we're often pretty excited about it, because the whole concept of subject-object separation is one of the main tenets of meditation and mystical experience. I think Renee can explain this probably even better.
Well, I think more importantly, if we follow just pure science in looking for answers to the problems that arise, science and the scientific process ends up leading us to some real paradoxes. And one of the primary paradoxes that quantum physics brought up is that the observer affects the experiment, that the person's mm-hmm. conducting the experiment, that the wave into a particle, the experiments that have been being done since the 20s have left us with that problem. And so finding, who gets to choose, how does the observer affect what's being observed. And quantum physics points this out. And so this has generally been the realm of mysticism, but Amit's perspective on it isn't to delve into mysticism really with it at all. It's to do good, hard science on the very tough questions, the questions of consciousness itself.
And what you find is when you study this stuff, is that all these mystical traditions through thousands of years have been studying these exact concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And, the subject of consciousness. And it's been kind of separated out into philosophical schools, you know, through and taken a little bit out of science. But basically, here's an experiment of how this works. If you take a photon and you let it go in the middle of the room, okay, wherever one looks for it, that's where it appears, which is just crazy. It's totally messed with scientists. Because
mm-hmm.
That means that it exists as a wave throughout the entire room and in possibility
mm-hmm.
until we perceive where we want it to be. So what does this do to objectivity within science? Do you see what I mean?
Yes, also that means that a lot of paradigms, and that's something that he brings out, science, just like so many other areas of life, paradigms are established. And it's like, well, that's it. But it isn't it. And that is what is so, I think, frustrating to anyone that finds they enter into an innovative cycle that is in conflict with established paradigms. I mean, you can look at the world of medicine. You can look at the world of technology. Just think of the evolutions that, and I use the word in the plural sense with purpose, those evolutions on multiple levels, the rapidity of the moving forward that's occurred just in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Exactly. And, you know, quantum physics has had a big part to do with that, with
mm-hmm.
a lot of the computing power and things like that. By understanding these probability distributions, we're able to do a lot of the technology that we just hold in our hands today are basically due to a lot of this mathematics, you know. But the funny part is reductionist science, materialist science, is not taking a lot of the quantum physics into account with trying to understand what this is all about.
All right. Define materialistic science for those people that are listening to the show today.
Materialist science is the idea that everything can be explained as an interaction of matter, that fundamentally the carbon molecule or the basic proton, electron are the building blocks or the quarks that make that up. Really what's being searched for with the current collider that's going on in Europe, looking for the God particles, for the essence of some material essence that makes up reality. And this has been kind of really the thought starting with Newton's time. And then the Cartesian view that animals are machines and thus they don't feel anything and they're not sentient and there's nothing about that, so we can experiment on them at will, etc. Our whole current model, our medicine model and allopathic medicine is based in materialist science. We say that our problems lie within the genes and that there's some material matter there that somehow we're victim to, and that we as conscious beings, that consciousness itself is nothing but a secondary phenomenon phenomenon of the interaction of these material interactions. And this has defined our science, our sociology, our entire system of thinking, really, for hundreds and hundreds of years. But with the birth of quantum physics and the observer effect and the paradox that's been raised by the quantum measurement paradox, has brought us to where, in order to resolve these paradoxes, it's opened our eyes that the material world is not the ground of everything, but that consciousness, that life itself, is the ground of all being.
One of the interesting ways to kind of add it up is if you think of a molecule creating cells, creating organic life, creating brain, which consciousness comes from. Right? That's the typical materialist model that comes from a Newtonian mindset, so that consciousness is a brain phenomenon. But the interesting paradox that Renee mentions here is that to collapse the waveform, to collapse these possibilities into an actuality, if the brain was required, you have a paradox here, see? So how does it start? It just doesn't work.
You need a brain for consciousness in order to collapse a possibility. The brain itself is a possibility until it's collapsed by consciousness. So where does the consciousness arise first from in order to collapse the first possibility into an actuality?
Yeah, and to a lot of people, you know, this is just really straightforward stuff because they just know it within every cell of their being. They know it from their personal experiences. They know it from their intuition. Alternative medicine practitioners all realize that there's an energy, there's a vital energy that basically holds all of us together. And it's not just a molecular building block system. Even though it can be shown and shown as a symptom and more of a signature of this. So anyway, that's the main thing that Amit's into, and this consciousness is the ground of all being applies in so many ways to solve so many of our social, medical problems and things like this. It's just amazing. I think we're
produces such a significant change. Now he is traveling throughout the world and he's lecturing. Is he able to reach what I'd call the average individual? I mean, this film obviously is going to do this, but is he primarily going to universities? Where is he placing himself?
Well, you would really be surprised. Now, there's a lot of stuff at universities, of course, because there's a lot of think tanks and stuff like that as to how to apply these issues. But, like, some of the latest stuff, one was a meeting at The Hague with the World Bank there and the IMF and everybody else trying to come up with a creative solution to solve our economic problems and societal problems within the world and the world. And they realized that having a new way of thinking about this stuff via, like, the quantum leap and the creativity that's shown from that is a viable option. And they're actually looking this way. So even though to the average person it kind of seems like this stuff is really lofty, come to find out it is being applied in so many ways that I'm just blown away by it.
And truly, it's been, I think, somewhat accurately said that at least 60 to 70% of all of our current technology is the result of applying quantum physics into our understanding. Quantum physics is the current scientific model. It's usurped our old materialist Newtonian models as to the nature of reality. Not that those models don't apply in the macrocosmic way. They do work. We can set trajectories and calculate those things. But the mathematics and the understanding from quantum physics has truly transformed our world. But to make a new scientific model adapted into our society, it's been said that scientific progress happens one death at a time. And in other words, one scientist who's holding an old idea and has tenureship and has just their whole model of working needs to be let go of, and it's not let go of easily, and so it happens slowly. But now at this point, we're really starting to apply this to our economic models, to our sociological models, to our evolutionary models, to our medicine models. It's really a profoundly exciting time.
Yeah,
it really is, because it is. I was just chatting with someone today about the fact that the old world as it has been known, old modalities of thinking, and I'll relate this to the male-female perspective, there are the challenges that, gee whiz, the female should be subservient to the male, and there's all kinds of doctrines that have been preached throughout the world at different times in different cultures. And so we've gone through a period where that has been shifting away for, let's say, the past 100 years, maybe 150 years. And then all of a sudden there's this surge of, no, we've got to bring this back. And you watch, it's like a regurgitation of the old, but it's really the death throes. Mm. And I'm looking forward, I hope it happens in my lifetime, where we no longer look at the male and the female as being exclusive separates in the sense that they're often defined as, but that intelligence doesn't care where it is, whether it's in the male or the female form. And when a person has talents, you accept them, use those talents, and allow them to be, so that you don't have all of these dualities that constantly cause friction and fear and agitation. And
duality is the easiest for fundamentalist thoughts because, you know, that way your answer is black and white, and it doesn't really require to really think in all the shades of gray or even to take it further to have a holistic approach that incorporates everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's really difficult for a lot of people, and you can see why, you know, a lot of people just kind of turn off a lot of that thought, and they say, oh, well, this is my role, and this is... You know, and blah, blah, blah. Fundamentalism is created. Boom. You know, this is what we should do. But I think that holism is really where we're trying to get towards because
mm-hmm.
we're not trying to throw out materialist science. We're not trying to throw out Newtonian thought. That'd be crazy. I mean, look how much it's done for us, you know. Descartes in his XY axis and all this great stuff that we've been able to do is the Cartesian grid, all this stuff that I've heard people kind of beat on as saying that it's caused a lot of our troubles. Well, wait a minute.
It's our incomplete understanding that's caused the troubles, not that the model itself is corrupt and needs to be thrown out. It just needs to be understood within a larger context.
Yes, and that's Dr. Goswami's work.
And that is what is really a challenge for all of us. And I think that with our children today, those children that are evolving into this environment, their challenge is, we're so ready for it, how many of the people around us are ready for it? And they have this patterning they're going to have to grow through, and breaking and establishing new environments that are going to even evolve more rapidly. I'm just absolutely astonished with what I receive in the way of materials, the information on DNA, how it can be changed, and all kinds of genetic patternings can be totally shifted in a body. There's just so many things that because of quantum physics, as you've mentioned more than once during our talk today, that we are discovering this is possible. It's not impossible. It is possible.
And it's proven science, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's proven stuff. And it's just now to start applying it, you know.
Right, so it's not the realm of being woo-woo or Amit likes to use the word ooly. It's not the old realm of mysticism per se. It's now becoming truly a hard science that we can create scientific experiments to work upon. One of the experiments mentioned in the film, the Huckleberg-Grinberg experiment, indicating that consciousness is able to communicate non-locally, and experiments can be set up to prove this and then to start to work with it.
And if we can start proving that our interconnectedness is the inherent reality of our universe, boy, we're going to start seeing some major shifts come from this, you know. And I think that was probably the part that jazzed us up the most to create the film is that if we do particleize our reality based upon our past conditioning and things like that, and that we do have that says that we have a responsibility in what is called a tangled hierarchy with the universe to co-create within this. And with that in mind, you know, every bit that we can do will bring about these changes that will be everlasting, you know, that we can pass down to the children and the next group of scientists that are working in the next realm.
It matters that we're engaged in life.
Yes, it does matter. And what matters, and I've said this frequently on my show, one person makes a difference. And when you compound that with cooperative interaction, so much can be shifted and changed, and it doesn't have to be ugly and negative, but it can really make a difference. And I think that's what many of the sages of the past tried to share with people. They could see and understand it, but it wasn't easy for the average individual to be able to do it because of the paradigms of thinking that they were engaged in.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the quantum physics, is it's a hard, objective science that people can rely on without having to have their own internal experiences. And the West kind of needs that, because it's hard to get people to, you know, to want to dive into these practices that people spent their whole lifetimes on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's kind of go, 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 and don't really have time to meditate and do all these things for their own personal exploration. So to be able to see that there is science being done that does prove our inherent unity and that consciousness is the ground of being is really a beautiful thing for the Western thought, Western civilization.
Well, I think worldwide it is a very positive patterning, because I think that we're seeing in today's world that there is so much of the old that is so frightened, it's losing its ground. Old thinkings, old patternings, they don't fit, and they are going through their own type of death throw. And it's not easy. It's very, very difficult, because they're going to do everything they can to hold on to it. But it will go away. The changes are happening, and you're not going to be able to stop them. It isn't going to be stoppable. Now, I know that Dr. Goswami is involved with the Holmes, Ernest Holmes Research Center, or the Institute, and also with the Philosophical Research Society, which was founded by Manly Hall. And they're both in California. And I think it's wonderful that he is involved with them, because both of these organizations have been very dedicated to the development and understanding of the powers of the mind, and being able to empower individuals to be what they want to be. So this is just, it's terrific. I think your film is just exquisite. I wish I had a television show so we could have shown excerpts of the beautiful photography, Dr. Goswami speaking, and the involvement. I so appreciate both of you being able to be on the air with me. Now, for those of you listening, if you would like to see a sample of this, go to quantumactivist.com, quantumactivist.com, and at that website, you'll find out a lot more information. It is absolutely a gorgeous film, very well done, very much inspiring in the thought processes. Before we close out, where do the two of you see this movie going? Do you see it being a stepping stone to another one, or what are your next plans?
Well, we are talking with Dr. Goswami about some work on possibly in creative evolution, which we're pretty excited about. But at the moment, we're pretty much focused on the film. We're still working with other countries. It's rights in Germany, and it's going to be distributed in Germany and Australia and Chile and Brazil. And
Croatia and England.
And England and Croatia, which we almost, you know, forgot about. And so right at the moment, that's taken a lot of our focus, and we want to just kind of give it the nurturing support that it deserves at the moment.
Well, I agree. It's a beautiful, beautiful film. And for those of you listening again, go to quantumactivist.com. Quantumactivist.com. You'll be able to see a brief piece of the film, and you'll find out a lot about Dr. Goswami. And if you haven't heard of him, don't feel badly. I hadn't either, but now I have, and I'm very impressed with this film. It's very well done, and it's something that could be shown in schools. It's something you could share with anybody. It is very, very informative and insightful. Ladies, Rai Stewart and Renee Slade, thank you very much for being with me today. I know your schedule is a busy one, and I appreciate you giving me your time.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call into is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. We're going to have a second movie for review this week. It's going to be called Infinity with Jay Wiedner. It is, I think, going to be a fascinating topic. And then tomorrow we're going, that's going to be on Wednesday, tomorrow we're going to be talking about The Christmas Swap. This is a delightful holiday book, and it is about some couples and something special that they're going to be doing. And Janet Martin is going to be my guest, and we're going to have a fun time with that. And then if you enjoy angels, Joan Anderson is one of my favorite people. She's been on my show through the years that I've had my programming, and she has a new book called Moms Go Where Angels Fear to Tread, but also there is a book called Where Miracles Happen. So it's just great for the holiday season, I think, and it's something I know that you will enjoy. And for those of you who are wondering where the newsletter is, it will be going out this evening due to some challenges that I've had with some of the spreadsheet effect of putting the newsletter together. I'm having to work through that. So it will be going out this evening, and you'll have more information about what's going to be coming up via that route. And if you'd like to be on my email list, all you need to do is send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com. And then we will get that off, put you on the list so that you will automatically get it every month when it does come out. And so that's what we've got. Now, on the upcoming Monday, which is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, I've got two guests I'm going to have, and I wanted to mention this to you. One is a gentleman, we're going to be talking about the Eternal Soldier, Mr. D. Shigalali, and then also there's going to be Rosalie Turner, Sisters of Valor. So we're going to be talking about two different aspects. One, the women that are married to the men that are overseas, and then also a soldier from World War II. So we'll be having both of those people on Pearl Harbor Day here. Well, I started yesterday giving information for astrological signs for a winter horoscope, and I thought I would continue it today. So if you are a Cancer, a Leo, or a Virgo, this is what is going to be coming up for you in our winter months. Yes, before we know it, it's going to be really right there in the middle of it. I found out just before I went on the air from someone that we received a phone call from that an area of Texas that doesn't see very much snow, they're expecting about 6 inches today. So for many parts of the country, the cold weather is coming in and winter is beginning to greet us. Here in the Pacific Northwest, it's blue skies, if you can believe that, it's happening here, and golden sunshine that is filtering itself through the trees. It's absolutely beautiful outside. Crisp and cold, but beautiful. Okay, if you are born under the sign of Cancer, what about family and romance? Well, you are going to find that family is going to be your focus. If you're married, you're going to have a lot of good things happening. And you may find, if you're single, that there may be that Mr. or Miss Special that's going to be coming in before the 14th of February, which, of course, we all know is Valentine's Day. Now, what about money? Yes, well, you've got a level of creativity, and you know how to seek out bargains, those of you that are born under the sign of Cancer. They might even call you a shopping sage, not only during holiday season, but just about at any time. You know how to shop, and you know how to do it well. So you are going to also, if you're looking for a job, you're going to find after the middle of January, their job prospects are actually going to be quite good, so do your homework. Now, if you really would like to travel, February seems to be the month. That is the kickoff opportunity for that. And don't be afraid to try something different. Have a sense of adventure. Be willing to try something new that you haven't tried before. So that's for the sign of Cancer. Let's move on to those of you that are under the sign of Leo the Lion. Well, you know what? You are going to have to really pay attention to the people that are in your life. And if you're looking for that someone special, well, don't be afraid to try new environments. It probably will help you out quite a bit. Don't be a stick in the mud when it comes to socializing. Be open to new opportunities, and you may find that special person. Now, if you're looking at money and career, well, this is going to be a year, 2010. If you've been putting in a lot of effort towards bettering yourself, towards reaching a new level in a career environment, this is going to be the year for you really to move forward. Yes, you've got a hard-working year in 2010, but your rewards will be good if you have the persistence and stick-to-itiveness that you need. And if you're interested in traveling, plan your vacation well in advance so that when you go, everything that you leave behind, your home, etc., is all going to be in good order when you come back. But plan it out. Don't just try to do it on a wing and a prayer. Make sure you plan it out well so that you will be able to enjoy yourself tremendously. And again, for you, it is something that whether it's in January or February or maybe even this month of December, whatever you want to do, just make sure you give yourself the time and opportunity for plans so that you can have a good time. Now, for those of you born under the sign of Virgo, well, you are going to find that you have got breakthroughs that are coming into your life. If you've been feeling like you've been stuck, you have not been moving forward, you feel like you have been put into a deep, deep rut, and you can't seem to dig yourself out of it, be patient because the breakthrough is coming during the winter months, and you are going to really feel like you are accomplishing what you want to accomplish. Now, financial challenges, if you've been going through a few of those, being the practical person that you are, you need to understand that this is going to pass, but you may need to look at how you want to work with your money differently. How can you be more effective with your dollars? And if you want to change careers, you really want to figure out what means the most to you. Don't waste your time by trying to just use fluff stuff. Pay attention to what really means the most to you and go for what you really love, because that is what's going to ensure that you have increasing dollars coming into your environment. Now, you're going to have a chance, especially in the month of February, to take a trip and to really have a good time. It's going to be something that may offer you the opportunity to be in what you'd consider a rather exotic environment when it comes to travel. You better take good care of yourself, too, because it seems like you have a tendency to burn out. So during the winter months, you prefer the sunshine. Remember, if you're in that part of the country or in an environment where it's cold and gray and dark most of the hours of the day, be good to yourself. Make sure you keep yourself in upbeat surroundings And don't forget to take your vitamins, but make sure you also are doing something that's fun in the way of exercise so that you keep your vitality where you want it to be. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, not a problem. Do that. Give me a call at 888-815-9756. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break for a moment, and we will be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Again, 888-815-9756. Just remember, all I need is your first name or your initial. I'll tell you what I perceive, and after that, you can ask me anything you like. Okay, there are some situations physically that usually can pop in and really drain us. And we wonder why it is we get so curled up and frustrated when it comes to winter time. Well, part of it is because we don't have as much sunshine during the day as we normally would. And if you're a person that really likes that golden glow and it's not available, and a good thing to remember is to always have some full spectrum lights in your environment, because that can help to keep your energy levels up. But also, sometimes we end up having, you know, it's like we get little coughs and just the things we just sort of, oh, the gremlins are working overtime today, but that's okay. Anyway, during the winter months, have you ever noticed it seems like there's a little cough that comes in, there's this little bit of this, and you just don't feel that vibrancy that you want to feel. Well, I came across some information that I thought would really help, and it may sound a little bit odd to discuss it on the air, but if it can help you out, you need to be aware of it. Remember the old chicken soup that mom would always give you, or you hear about, well, if you got a cold and this, that, or the other, have chicken soup. Well, they have found that chicken soup actually is something that's very, very good for you. And if you find yourself clearing your throat frequently, and if you just have this tickling sensation in the back of your throat that won't go away, well, usually that's caused by a post-nasal drip. So when you have chicken soup, what occurs is that it opens up your nasal passages, and it causes a thinning of secretions that come from those passages easily within 30 minutes, and it enables you to get rid of them. Now, Dr. Raymond Wong, who's an MD at Harvard Vanguard Medical Associates in Burlington, Massachusetts, said this is something that's very, very simple. I learned this when I was traveling, and when I was on the road quite a bit, and especially when I'd be up in the far north like Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'd be in this extremely dry, cold environment, and I'd always, it seemed like, ended up with something affecting my sinuses. Well, when you can be aware that, yes, there are over-the-counter medicinal items that you can take, but there's usually side effects with that. And I can remember my husband telling me one time, Donna, don't take any of those sinus medications, because what it's going to do, it's just going to delay what your body needs to go through. And my husband was right. Because I ended up 2 days later, I had been on a plane, and so I was taking all kinds of over-the-counter stuff just to try to keep myself from getting horrible ear blockages so I couldn't hear for hours, and then also to keep the sinuses dry. Well, sure enough, I stopped it, and it was a couple of days later, and it's just like the body said, well, you wouldn't let me take care of it before, so here you go, boom. And I really was shot down. I was so miserable and so uncomfortable. So that's one of the reasons why hot chicken soup really does such a good thing. Also, another way that you, if you are having a challenge with your sinuses, a 10-minute steamy shower, or if you have like a bowl of real hot water and you put a towel over your head and you maybe add a little bit of oil of eucalyptus to the water so that you inhale that fume, if you will, the smell of eucalyptus will just absolutely clear your sinuses. Also, a 20-minute walk outside can really help. And this one I just loved. I thought this one was really great because I know this one definitely works. 1 to 2 tablespoons of a spicy salsa, horseradish, or wasabi. I'd no more take a tablespoon of wasabi than a man in the moon, because all I need is just a tiny, tiny bit, and woo! It's like having hot, hot, spicy mustard. It just clears, you know, that Chinese mustard, it just clears everything so quickly, just opens all the sinuses up. But when I read that one about 1 to 2 tablespoons of spicy salsa, I said, you, that's fine, but the wasabi, no. That would be way too much for me. But the suggestions are good ones, and just realize that sometimes the best thing you can do for yourself is to get some sleep. It's amazing how a little bit of sleep can make all the difference in the world. It really can. Well, also, colors make a big difference. If you are aware of colors in your environment, and I have a friend that every season she works towards changing colors. Well, you know, when the holidays come, we have orange for Halloween, we have the fall colors that we bring out when it comes to Thanksgiving, and then, of course, the two primary colors that are always so popular for Christmas are the colors red and green. Well, this is fine, but one of the things we need to remember is that colors do have an effect on us. And I can remember years ago when I found out how pink was, depending on the shade, is something that could really calm people, that in jails they had what they called the pink room. And if someone really got to be too agitated, they'd put them in the pink room and just leave them there, and the color would calm them down. Interestingly enough, you think of the Arizona sheriff who gets so much attention because he put all of his inmates in pink outfits. He said, if you don't want to be in jail, then just know when you come here, you're going to be in pink. So if you don't want to come back, don't come back. Don't do anything to get yourself back in here. But peach has the same effect as pink does. And in feng shui, warm pastels like pink and peach nurtures a person psychologically. It just seems to wrap around you. And studies have been done on this. In fact, studies of 10,000 people over the last 10 years have found that pink and peach make people feel more nurturing, affectionate, and actually appealing. Maybe that's why women like the color so much. And she said for gals, it really, those tones, dependent again on the shade, really makes the skin tones look very, very good. So she said it really is a very positive color. Now, in feng shui, the color black will attract all kinds of good things. But I'll bring in some more information about colors and how in feng shui they can really make a difference in your life. And I know we're just about out of time here. Now, don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Christmas swap with Janet Martin. This is a charming story about a community and some couples. The husbands decide they're going to play a joke on the wives, and I think you'll enjoy what we're going to be sharing with you tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you might be, And we'll see you right here, same time, same place, at bbsradio.com, Station 1. This is Donna. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.